It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the book of Ephesians, we left off last time in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. It says there, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Well, we discussed this to a point, and it says there, "Let him that stole steal no more." Theft, like lying, was and is universal, and is a result of sin. Well, the practice of stealing prevails in probably every community around the world. Therefore, as the Christian converts at Ephesus had long been addicted to stealing, evidently, there was a danger that they would fall into it again. And therefore, the necessity of special cautions were needed as an alert to the church at Ephesus. Paul the Apostle was giving these people a warning. Well, notice with me, if you would, in that instead of stealing, Paul continues to talk. He says, "But rather let him labor." A person is to look for the means of living in an honest manner by his own hard work rather than wronging others. Well, how to labor? Paul continues by saying, "working with his hands." This is pursuing some honest employment. And I believe we talked about this last time, that Paul was not ashamed to labor with his own hands. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12, it says, "Even as unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it." But notice in verse 12 there, he says, "and labor." Paul the Apostle was not afraid of work. He was not afraid to work with his hands. In fact, the Bible teaches us that he was a tent maker by trade. In other words, he earned a living by making tents. You see, no man is dishonored by labor. God made man for toil, according to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, where it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." That means to work. You see, no man who is able to support himself has a right to depend on others. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11 says, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." Well, people are not to steal to live, but are to work with their own hands, earning what they need. Now, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, lets us, as he did the church at Ephesus, know that we not only work to get what we need, we are to work also, that verse says, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Well, this is not merely for a person to distribute food, but that he may have it in his power to aid others to give it. And the reason then, decency of this is obvious. The human race consists of a considerable part that cannot labor to support themselves. Some are too old, and some are too young, or they are crippled or feeble or laid on a bed of sickness. Some have lost sight that it is the responsibility of local churches to help those in need. And not only do we, as members of local churches, of a local church, do we gather there for fellowship and worship and for the hearing of God's word, we are also to be members who see that deserving people in need are helped. Now, it's not the government's responsibility to feed those in need. It is the responsibility of the local church. People have gotten away from this. We as members of local churches have relinquished much of what our God has asked us to do, and many times have turned over our responsibilities and privileges to the government and to people who themselves receive donations from individuals or the government without any accountability. And this is another reason to give through the local church, because the local church is responsible to its members and, more importantly, to God. To give, as verse 28 says, to him that needeth. Now, these people who have these organizations that say, give to us and we're going to give to others. Remember, those people are getting paid to say that. These people who say that are getting paid to distribute. Whereas in the local church, it goes through the local church. And the people who get paid are getting paid eternal dividends. In other words, they're not looking for a financial windfall. They're looking, the people in the local church, they look to the Lord to take care of them. And in turn, they take care of other people. They help people in need. Verse 28 again says, to give to him that needeth. And might I say this, that there are many undeserving people who simply want to live off the government, expecting something for nothing. Now, these people are leeches who suck the life's blood from our government and from those who are actually in need. If a person is able to work, then let that person work. That's scriptural. I would also remind people that the word government in our country of the United States is supposed to be by the people and for the people who are United States of America citizens. Not for everybody else in the world, but for our citizens. We are to take care of us first. You see, for the people and by the people means the government is actually made up of citizens of the United States and is not supposed to be made up of illegal aliens or influenced by foreign countries. By the way, when we say government of the United States of America, it is supposed to mean people of the United States. So, when someone who is able to work and does not, but instead gets a handout from the government, you guessed it, you and I are the ones paying for the upkeep of a leech who refuses to work. The Bible teaches us that if a man does not work, then he should not eat. A person who is getting something from the government needs to be working if that person is able to work. And this is where we've gotten into trouble in our country of letting people live off the government, which is the people of the United States, the people. That is the government in essence. And of course, we have those politicians who live off the people. Many of them are leeches, not doing the job that they've been placed there in the government to do, but they are leeches getting a paycheck for not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And therefore, the Bible teaches me that the church, God's church, the local church, is to help those in need. And the way we know who's in need is we're in the community. And we know people. We know what's going on in and around and about us. And who better to know who to distribute to than a local church who's there actually in that community serving God? Well, let's look on now in verse 29 of Ephesians chapter 4. Paul the Apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Now notice this. Paul says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed." 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Notice that word corrupt. The word corrupt means bad, decayed, rotten. And it's applied to decayed vegetables or animal remains. When the word is applied to a tree, it means that the tree does not produce good fruit. Matthew chapter 7, verse 17 says, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." You see, when it is used in a moral sense, the word corrupt indicates that which is depraved, evil, contaminating, and it may indicate anything that is obscene, offensive, or that tends to corrupt others. And the importance of the admonition of verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed," will be appreciated when it is remembered this, that such obscene and filthy talk prevailed everywhere, and it still does between the heathen. Now, I'm speaking back then, it prevailed in and around the people at Ephesus, and it prevails today everywhere among the heathen. United States missionaries have found in many foreign lands that common conversations are so corrupt and defiling that they have felt it necessary to send their children home to be educated in order to protect them from the contaminating influence of those around them. And that's sad. The world is depraved without Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ causes people to have a sense of morality. The Lord Jesus Christ places within that individual, and we'll see more of this later on about the Spirit of the Lord. He places within that person who is saved the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And that brings about a change within the human heart, within the human being, that says we are to do the things properly and in order, that we are to do something that is necessary to help other individuals, especially when it comes to communication. Verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed. It says that, and it will be appreciated when it is remembered that those who have had the misfortune to be familiar with the common conversation of those in any community that lowers themselves to speak with vulgarities and even to the point of taking our Lord's name in vain, people will start understanding that they, when the Lord is seen, when the Lord is seen through the words of that person who names Jesus Christ as Savior, when the word goes out from that individual who's not letting corrupt communication proceed out of the mouth, that does something. It is a point that at that time, that person can present Jesus Christ to that lost and dying world around them. And those people who need Jesus Christ need to hear the truth. They need to hear clean talk. They need to hear that Jesus saves and that Jesus wants them to know him as Lord and Savior. Corrupt language, filth, is heard even among those who are in the position of teaching, not only in colleges of our country and the universities, but also in many government, and this is public schools, where youngsters grow up thinking that just because a teacher uses foul, vulgar language, that it is acceptable. God help us to build accountable and hold accountable, build accountable teachers through the Word of God and hold them accountable. Those who are already in the teaching profession, hold them accountable. Those ungodly teachers who take advantage of the vulnerability of the children, and to also hold to account those who place ungodly teachers in the important role of teaching. God help us to stand up for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those of us who are saved, we need to take a stand and let Jesus Christ be prevailing throughout every place in this country and in this world. We need to present him. Jesus saves. Jesus changes people. And we need to let people know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of mankind. If they will simply turn to him and say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. Please come into my heart and save me so that I will see you one day. Next time we'll pick up where we're leaving off in verse 29 of Ephesians chapter 4.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.